Good morning, and it's indeed a great privilege to be here with you again. I guess I should apologize for the confusion on the title. Part of it's my fault. I meant it to be a little different, a little something to pique your interest, but I'm afraid instead it probably confused most, if not all of you, completely. Just for the record, the title I intended was Strength Better Than Powder Milk Biscuits. Now, I hear some recognition coming from you guys out there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others of you still have no idea. But I hope that'll become clear in a few moments. Turn with me, if you have your scriptures with you, to the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3. Second Corinthians 3. And we'll be looking at what Paul has to say here in verses 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. Reading from the New International Version, let's hear with expectancy the reading of God's holy word. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Here ends the reading of God's word. There are many things I'd like to be able to share with you all this morning about myself so that you'd know a little better just what makes Mark Hartzell tick. But I'll just share with you a couple things this morning, and one of them is that I really enjoy listening to a certain public radio show on Saturday evening. And this show, as some of you will know from the title, the sermon title, it's called A Prairie Home Companion. And whenever I get the chance, I like to listen to this show on Saturday evenings from 6 to 8 on public radio. My wife likes to listen to it too. We're becoming moderate fans, I would say. And I think some of you know the show's creator and host, Garrison Keillor, much better than even I do. Garrison is a very gifted and creative man, and he's a fascinating storyteller. And some of you probably have seen his best-selling book in the bookstore. It's called Lake Wobegon Days. But some of my favorite parts of that show are the commercials for fictional products that are interspersed all throughout the show. And those of you who know the show know that there's one product in particular that is advertised virtually every week. And it's a product called Powder Milk Biscuits. Powder Milk Biscuits. Now, Powder Milk Biscuits, like most of the products on the show, has a slogan to go with it. And so central is Powder Milk Biscuits to the show that not only does it just have a slogan, but it even has a jazzy little tune that's called the Powder Milk Rag that they play every time the commercial comes on. But the thing that I like most about Powder Milk Biscuits, do I sound like a commercial here? The thing that I like best about Powder Milk Biscuits is the slogan. The slogan. And what these tasty morsels promise to give you in the slogan. And it goes like this. Are you ready? Powder Milk Biscuits. They give shy people the strength to do what needs to be done. Powder Milk Biscuits, they give shy people the strength to do what needs to be done. What a great product. I've told some people that I think that if there really is no such thing as Powder Milk Biscuits, someone ought to get wise and market such a thing, because there's a huge market out there for this product. Biscuits that give you the confidence and sufficiency to do what needs to be done in your day. What a great product. Surely everybody needs this kind of thing every now and then. Everybody feels a little insufficient, a little incapable, at least every now and then. And wouldn't it be great to go to a box of these biscuits and whip them up and have that strength and have that confidence and have that sufficiency? Well, my friends, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have a strength available to us far greater than powdering of biscuits. We have a strength far greater than powdering of biscuits. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 talks about this, and he describes his own source of confidence before God and competence in ministry to other people. And I want you to see with me this morning how we are qualified and we are sufficient for all that we are given in life through God and through His grace. This morning, I want you to see with me that our adequacy is not of ourselves, but is all of God's grace to us in Christ. Our sufficiency, our adequacy, is not of ourselves, but is all of God's grace to us in Christ. First then, our adequacy is not of ourselves. Paul talks and infers this when he talks about the word confidence. You see, we have no confidence before God on our own. We have no confidence before God on our own. The word that is translated here, confidence, in verse 4, is often used in the New Testament in the sense of adequacy and sufficiency and confidence to approach God. Confidence to approach God. And why do we have no confidence as human beings? Well, it's because of our sin and our rebellion in our hearts against the Holy God. You see, we are under God's death penalty. In and of ourselves, we stand condemned before the Holy God of the universe. We can have no confidence before this kind of God. We are rebels by birth as well as decision. R.C. Sproul says it this way: we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. You see, by nature, we are sinners. We have inherited a sinful nature from Adam. And therefore, we sin. We sin. Our very nature is warped. We are sinners by nature, and therefore we cannot stand before the Holy God and the Holy Creator on our own. You see, folks, we're like a yellow rubber glove. A yellow rubber glove. I don't know if you have rubber gloves around your house, but we have them around my house. And in fact, there's a pair that sits beside our sink regularly. And I really detest them. I hate to use them. But my wife really likes to use them. She likes to use them to do the dishes. But when I do the dishes, those rubber gloves lie there by the side of the sink, limp and lifeless. They just lie there. You see, on our own, we have no strength, no sufficiency in and of ourselves, just like a rubber glove. We can't stand up on ourselves before the Holy God, just like a rubber glove on its own cannot stand up, much less do anything useful. We're like limp rubber gloves. We have no inner means of support. We have no way to stand before the Holy God on our own. Mark Twain tells a story from his childhood that's particularly striking. He tells of an event that had a great impact on him. As a child, he saw a man shot dead in the street. This a man he knew to be a profane old man. And as he was lying there dead in the street. Some person, somebody that Twain calls a thoughtful fool, took one of those huge Bibles, one of those huge family Bibles, and opened it up and laid it on that man's chest. So there the man was, lying in the street with this huge Bible on his chest. And for weeks afterwards, Twain says that he had nightmares. He had nightmares that he was that man, that he was under the weight of that huge Bible. He was under the guilt of that sin. He was under the weight of God's law, and he lay there suffocating. You see, not only can we not stand before God like a limp rubber glove, but we're actually crushed by the weight of God's requirements on us. God's law is perfect. God's law demands perfection from us. And so, on our own, we're crushed. We can do nothing but lie prostrate like that old man under the weight of God's law, under the weight of his demands on us. On our own, we are prostrate and condemned by God's law. You see, it would be like a rubber glove under a huge stack of Baltimore phone books. That's how flat we would be. That's how crushed we would be. So on our own, we have no confidence before God. And on our own, moreover, we have no competence before other people. We have no competence before other people on our own. The word translated competent here has the sense of sufficient, qualified, capable, even appropriate. We have none of those things before other people on our own. You see, our tasks are too big for us. Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 16. He says, rhetorically, "And who is equal to such a task? Who is equal to such a task?" The answer, no one. On our own, we are not sufficient for all that God calls us to do. You see, again, we're like empty rubber gloves. We're not very useful on our own. I can't think of much of anything you can do with an empty rubber glove, except maybe clog a drain with it. And even that is something that's negative and just an obstruction. You can't really do much with an empty rubber glove. It's not very useful. It's not very productive. You see, if you feel adequate on your own for all God calls you to do, then I suggest you've fallen into one of two mistakes. You either have sinful overconfidence in your own abilities, you have pride in what you are able to do on your own, or on the other hand, you are not attempting enough for God. You're too comfortable in life. You're not letting yourself be stretched and filled like an empty rubber glove before the Lord. We have no confidence before God on our own. And we have no competence before others on our own. Because our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but rather all of God's grace to us in Christ. It's all of God's grace to us in Christ. Our confidence before God is through Jesus Christ. Paul makes that so clear in verse 4. Such confidence is ours through Christ before God. Our confidence to stand before the Holy God is through Christ. In Christ, we can stand before the Holy God as free people, as forgiven sinners, as people justified and redeemed. And set free to stand before the Holy God. Ephesians 3, verse 12 says it this way. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And the author of Hebrews says it this way in chapter 10, verse 19. We have confidence to enter the most holy place through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. The crushing weight, the weight of God's law that would crush us as sinners on our own, is now removed in Jesus Christ. And we can stand before the Holy God in Jesus Christ. We stand as forgiven. And moreover, in Christ we have adoption into God's family. You see, the judge does not just pronounce us innocent. The judge does not just acquit us of all guilt and sin. But the judge takes us home to his very own home as his own sons and gives us the privileges of his firstborn son. We have adoption into God's family through Jesus Christ. We are given all the rights that belong to the firstborn son. And Christ, our elder brother, shares his inheritance with us. With us. That's the kind of relationship we have with the Holy God through Jesus Christ. We can call God Daddy in Christ. Amazing. This is what Romans 8:15 means when it says our spirits cry out, Abba, Father. You see the word Abba there, if you wanted to translate it into today's language, is something like Daddy. Daddy! It's the cry of a little child before the loving Father. That's the kind of exclamation we can have before our God. We can cry out, Daddy! You see, I have a friend named Sandy who calls her earthly father Daddy. Now, it would be really silly of me to try to call Sandy's father Daddy. I have no relationship with him. It'd be pretty stupid of me to try that. I'd feel pretty foolish, to tell you the truth. But Sandy has a different relationship with her father. She can call that man Daddy, knowing that he loves her, knowing that he cares for her, knowing that he will meet all her needs. She can call him Daddy, and frequently does so in joy and in confidence. Because of our adoption in Christ, my brothers and sisters, we can bring all our most intimate needs to our Father. 1 Peter talks about it this way. We can cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. That's what we can do to our Heavenly Father. We can go to Him as Daddy with all our burdens, all our requests, knowing that He cares for us. Because we belong to Jesus Christ. We have confidence before God in Jesus Christ. And moreover, we have competence before other people. We have competence before other people in ministry because of Jesus Christ, because we belong to Him. Paul says in verses 5b and 6 here, our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, we are ministers of a new covenant. And it is not of the letter, meaning it is not of death, the letter referring to the law. The letter kills because it brings condemnation, because it brings knowledge of sin. That law that's weighing down on us lets us know with its pressure that we are sinners. So the letter kills, the letter condemns. But the Spirit gives life. This is the contrast Paul is drawing here. The Holy Spirit breathes new life into dead people. The Holy Spirit brings new life to us, to people who are dead in sin. It's a new covenant that we belong to. It's a new covenant that we are ministers of. And what does the word new here mean? Well, it doesn't mean completely different from the old covenant, as though it had nothing to do with the old covenant, with the Old Testament. But it means new in the sense of better, more glorious in Christ, lasting, more beautiful. That's the covenant that we share in Christ. You see, we as Christians are all ministers of this new covenant. We are all ministers of the new covenant. Now you say to me, "Oh, not me, Mark. I'm not a minister. You're the minister. I'm just an ordinary Christian." But you see, the New Testament doesn't allow that kind of thinking. Paul doesn't allow that kind of thinking. You are a minister of the New Covenant. Al might be your pastor. I might be your pastor. But you are ministers. You are ministers before God in Jesus Christ. This is the beautiful Reformation doctrine known as the priesthood of all believers. We're all priests before God. We're all ministers before God because we stand between holy men, between sinful man and the holy God. We're ministers of reconciliation, as Paul talks about it later in 2 Corinthians. We're ministers of reconciliation, calling sinners to be reconciled with the holy God of the universe. That's we're go-betweens, we're mediators, we're ministers in this sense. We're ministers before God. Now, there's two errors to avoid here. Two extremes that both stem from the very same root. And that root is pride. On the one hand, the first error is arrogant self-sufficiency, like blowing up an empty rubber glove. So it is when we blow ourselves up, puff ourselves up with hot air. When we think we're sufficient in and of ourselves. When we have arrogant self-sufficiency, it's like blowing up an empty rubber glove. But on the other hand, there's a second error that also stems from pride, and that is fearful self-consciousness of yourself. Extreme shyness stems from pride. Think about it. Extreme shyness is focusing on yourself instead of the one who fills you. It's focusing on yourself as something worthless, something useless, instead of looking at Christ in you. It's like focusing on the empty rubber glove that lies limp there without seeing the hand that fills it to make it alive, to make it useful. So fearful self-consciousness stems from pride just as much as arrogant self-sufficiency. And we need to avoid both of those things as we see ourselves in Jesus Christ. Like empty rubber gloves, we're created to be filled with a life that is not our own. We are made to be stretched. We are made to be stretched and filled by the living hand, by Jesus Christ, as he lives in us by his Spirit. So we need to be stretched and filled with the living Christ in order to stand confidently before God, and in order to be competent in ministry to other people. Now, perhaps you're sitting here today, and you realize that you've never come to trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. You've never transferred your trust from yourself and your own good works to Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You've never made that personal decision. And perhaps you realize that your life has no real meaning or purpose. Perhaps you feel a little bit like a limp rubber glove lying there by the sink. Perhaps you sense your own inadequacy in life. Your self-image is shot and you really feel inadequate before other people. Or on the other hand, perhaps you feel that your life is pretty much in control, that you're doing a pretty good job of being your own boss, of calling your own shots, and you've got your life pretty much in order. You see, perhaps you feel you're your own man or your own woman, and you can take whatever comes your way. You can take it on the chin. You're tough. You can handle it. But you must realize, my friends, that Both the limp rubber glove and the one that's puffed up with hot air, both those rubber gloves are going to be crushed by that Baltimore phone book. Whether you see your own inadequacy or not, you will be crushed by God's law on your own. You'll be crushed, you'll be condemned. You have no confidence on your own before the pure holiness of God. God's standard is perfection. It's always higher than you can reach on your own. It's always more than you can drum up by your own energy. God's standard is perfection. It's way up there. Always out of your reach on your own. You must recognize your own insufficiency and your own inadequacy to stand before God and before man. You must recognize your own insufficiency on your own. And you must come humbly to Jesus Christ, laying your life down before Him and asking Him to fill you, to stretch you, and to fill you with life by His Spirit, so that you can stand before God as your father, as daddy, and so that you can be competent and adequate before other people in service that really counts, in a life that's really meaningful. You need to let Christ take control of your life as Lord as well as Savior. Only then will you know and enjoy the confidence that coming to the Holy God as Daddy brings. Only then will you know true competence, true fulfillment, true purpose, true meaning in your life for other men. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord, I urge you, don't put it off. Don't think that tomorrow you can repent. Tomorrow you'll turn to Christ after you've done X, Y, or Z that you really want to do. Don't put it off. If you haven't made that kind of decision, I or the leaders of this church would be glad to talk with you. We'd be glad to answer any of your questions and to help you to come to that point where you put faith in your trust in Jesus Christ alone. But perhaps you're already a believer. Perhaps you've already committed your life to Jesus Christ. And perhaps you've come to saving faith and trust in Christ alone for your salvation. Maybe you're a new believer. Maybe you're fairly young in the Lord. Or maybe you've been walking for years and years with the Lord. Either way, you need to daily claim your bold confidence before Jesus Christ, before God in Jesus Christ. You need to boldly come before God as your daddy, to lay all your cares before Him, confident that He cares for you because you belong to Jesus, because He is your Lord, because the barrier of sin has been removed, and you have adoption into His family. You need to come daily in that kind of boldness before God. And furthermore, you need to claim the competence in ministry that God promises you through His Spirit. Maybe the thought of sharing your faith verbally with a non-Christian petrifies you. Maybe just the thought of talking to a believer about Jesus scares you stiff. Now, I confess I used to feel that way, and sometimes I still feel that way when I start relying on my own strength, when I start relying on my own power. But I would encourage you to seek training, if that's the case for you. To seek training in this church's excellent Evangelism Explosion program and gain experience in verbalizing your faith so that it doesn't petrify you, so that you're used to those words coming over your lips and you can confidently in day-to-day situations share with people that God brings into your life. I encourage you to gain that kind of experience. Put yourself in a position where you know you're inadequate. Put yourself in a position where you have to be stretched by Jesus Christ and by His Spirit, where you need to yield to Him because you know that you're insufficient on your own. Allow yourself to be stretched by Christ and used for Him and used for His glory. Put yourself in those kinds of positions. Allow Christ to stretch you and fill you like a rubber glove, and use you for His glory, and use you for His kingdom purposes. Whatever God calls you to do in this church, as a minister of reconciliation in the new covenant, remember that you have confidence before God. You have confidence before God as an adopted heir in Jesus Christ. And you can come boldly to your daddy, confident that He cares for you, confident that He will hear and meet all your needs. Remember also that you are competent before other people because, as Paul says, He has made you competent. He has made you competent. If you've fallen into fearful shyness, confess your selfish pride before your Father. Confess it and leave it behind and come to Jesus and ask to be forgiven and filled and used of Him. And He will do it. He will do it. Then rest on Christ's promises and allow His Spirit to stir you to action, to stir you to know your sufficiency and your capabilities in service to Him. As great as powder milk biscuits are, my friends, or as great as they might be, because I've never eaten them, we have a source of strength, we have a source of power that is far better than any biscuits can be. Our adequacy before God and before other people is not of ourselves, but is rather all of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we want to know our Savior. We want to know Jesus Christ and know Him better. And we want, Lord, to know our hope, to know the riches of the glorious inheritance we share in Him. And Father, we also want to know Your power at work in us through Christ. We want to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead and that You have promised to us. We want to know that strength. We want to know that power as You work through us to reach those who don't know You, to meet their needs. Father, help us to know these things. Break us. Break us of our pride. Break us and fill us. Fill us with Your Spirit. And use us for Christ's glory. Use us to build His kingdom here in Columbia. And we will give You all the glory for this, for we know it is by You that these things are done. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.